The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Another parable Jesus put before the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like the treasure hidden in the field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he comes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like the merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl, a great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like the net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it to it ashore, sat down and put the good into the basket and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of the household who brings out his treasure that is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord. Pretty good. Now, looking out over all of you, not all of you, but I'm going to ask a question. I think I'll have some raised hands. How many of you here have adult children over the age of 18? Okay, a few of you. Okay, you might be able to relate to what I'm going through right now. But you know, when my boys were younger, I had no problem having their birthdays. You know, we'd celebrate them, we'd go do things. We really enjoyed their birthdays. And then you wake up one morning and you realize your oldest is turning 39. It's going to be really bad next year, so just be prepared. And I'm like, when did that happen? Yesterday was our oldest son Andrew's 39th birthday. And I don't know where the time has gone. And then you start reflecting on questions that come into parents' minds sometimes and say, you know, did I plant enough seeds in them that God's love for them in their hearts, that they will understand that God is with them and never forsake them, even in times of trouble? Things that us parents worry about. Our children, more than anything, can make our spirit weak, right? When they hurt, we hurt. When they're happy, it gladdens our hearts. There are a lot of things, though, in this life that can weaken our spirit. Amen? Yeah. Our health, death of loved ones, home life, lack of home life, money issues. You can probably fill in more than I could even list up here. One of the reasons that we put so much effort into our peanut butter drives and pasta drives for ICS is that we know the insecurity in our community can cause despair and weakness in people. But the Apostle Paul gives us some very encouraging words today in his letter to the Roman church. Paul says this, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You see, my friends, that even when we don't know how to pray or what to pray for, the Spirit of God that lives in us intercedes to God on our behalf. There's so much hurt in this world. Many people today feel hopeless and helpless. Some will look for a superhero to save the day for them, or maybe a quick fix. We live in a world without superheroes, and where we don't always save the day, right? Or we don't always have a quick fix to our problems. We live in a world where good does not always triumph over evil. Remember last week in the parable, the wheat and the weeds? We learned that good and evil grow up together in this world. Instead of black and white, the world often seems a hazy shade of gray. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes life is unfair. And the Apostle Paul knew that. He knew what he was talking about when he encourages us today. In one of Paul's prison letters to the Philippians, Paul tells us to rejoice always while he writes from his prison cell in Rome. Paul knew firsthand hardship and persecution. In 2 Corinthians, it lists the trials that Paul endured for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Imprisoned numerous times, flogged 5 times, received 39 lashes from the Jews, 3 times beaten with a rod, stoned, shipwrecked 3 times. We'll stop right there. After you've been shipwrecked once, why would you get on a boat again? Okay, we didn't say Paul was real smart sometimes, but he was in danger, he was hungry, and he was thirsty. Yes, Paul knew life could be unfair and hard. And he knew that Rome was not an easy place for Christians to live. He understood that this broken world is not an easy place for Christians to live today. But that didn't stop Paul in his ministry. That didn't stop him from giving words of encouragement to his fellow Christians. It did not stop Paul from praising God, the Savior, and encouraging others to do the same. Paul doesn't point to a superhero, but to a Savior. Unlike heroes, a Savior gives us hope for the future. A Savior doesn't necessarily fix everything that's wrong, but gives us a perspective to deal and cope with the wrongs in our life. In our reading today, in the letter of Paul to the Romans, he asked a rhetorical question: who can separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer is no one, but not just no one, but nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing in our past, in our present, or in our future. Not circumstances of our upbringing or the poor choices we've made in our lives. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Paul tells us that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. I think he hit them all. Will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that, my friends, should give us some hope. But it doesn't always, does it? We forget this message from Paul. This passage from Romans really changed my life. It changed me from passing just through life to having a purpose for my life. Each time I felt that unworthiness feeling would creep into my spirit, making me feel weak, I turned to this passage in Romans. In fact, I have this passage framed in my office. I use it a lot. Many of us link this passage to memorials or for during death. But for me and for many Christians, this passage gives us hope for the living. Throughout chapter 8 in Romans, Paul wants us to internalize the truth that he's been teaching all along, to move us to a new level of confidence in God's provision and love for us. Knowing that we are declared innocent of all charges against us is a wonderful assurance, isn't it? Paul says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, I got to the word of the day. We are more than conquerors. What does that mean? Well, for the Christians in Rome, it may have been conquerors over living with oppression, under persecution, and generally in a pagan society, and a non-religious society. Our conquering may be our current situation, or maybe a personal illness or loss, job loss, family issues, societal unrest, our political climate, whatever we need conquering in our life right now. Paul tells us that we should have hope. For all of us, we are conquerors over the sin that binds us through our faith in Jesus Christ. And in the life, we are more than conquerors. In other words, we are victors, but not by some superhuman capability, but by a Savior on a cross. A cross, a tool of torture and death for the Romans, but life-giving for Christians. We are conquerors because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. At the end of his ministry on earth in the upper room, Jesus assured his disciples, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." And in 1 John it states, "Everyone born of God overcomes the world." And Paul himself claims in 1 Corinthians, "Thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a lot of conquering right there. All of our superheroes in books and movies had something to set them apart from normal people, right? They had a trademark. It may have been, you know, for Batman, it was the bat light, you know, showing up. Yeah, Superman, the big S on the front and his cape, you know. But what's the trademark for Christians? What do you think? I know what Paul would say. We have the cross. Which was once a symbol of shame and ridicule is now a sign of great triumph, of great victory. It was on the cross that Jesus defeated sin and death and Satan. In the real world, we may not be superheroes. We might not have them to call on in our troubles. It would be nice, but we don't really have superheroes. But we do have a super savior, more powerful than any superhero could imagine. And the good news is because Jesus is our super savior, we are not just victorious. We can be more than victorious. We can be more than conquerors of what this world throws at us. Remember this as we deal with the things in our lives where we think we need a hero, because we already have a Savior waiting for us to call upon him. And if we don't know the words, remember the beginning of this passage, the Spirit that lives within us is already asking for what you need. For nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.